Thursday, July 6th, 2 days after America's birthday, coming to you live from a Living Legends tour bus. Hit the music.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. He was a high school All-American, a college All-American. He was All-Pro in the NFL. But the thing that he's most proud of is during his show in Muncie, Indiana, he made a woman in the crowd laugh so hard she shit her pants. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee!
That's right. This is going to be an epic podcast. We're all pretty fucking tired. Very, very, very tired. Today, I played in my first pro-am. I walked 18 holes. I did my little Fitbit thing. I think it was 100,000 steps I took today. Never taken that many steps in my life, but here we are, walking around mountains in the beautiful Greenbrier Estate, which is brought to you by Governor Justice, who's a great man. I got a chance to meet him. Good handshake. I look around the bus here, and we just got a wealth of beauty. At Nick Moraldo, at Todd McComas, at the Jeff Vibbert, at Tactical Digs, and the Legends bus that we're on. He lives in this thing. You live in this thing, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Into the mic.
Pretty much. I do.
He's handsome. He's an incredible golfer. He has a gigantic heart. He takes care of a lot of people in Dardano, Arkansas. He's a friend of the show. He should be your favorite human on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, at PGA underscore John Daly.
Way!
Well, thank you very much.
How are you doing, boss?
I'm doing great. We had a blast today. You walked 100,000 steps?
No, yeah, complete exaggeration, but it felt like it was...
I walked only 42,000.
Do you really keep track?
No. Have you seen my body lately?
The only thing you keep track of is how many jugs of chocolate milk you drink. Yeah. Open your fridge. You live on it. We are on your tour bus. It is beautiful. By the way, you live on this thing?
Yeah, we take it everywhere we can, you know.
It's got a full spread. You got your trophies here. I see an entire showcase of the John Daly malt beverage, which is this on
Well, that's the old one. That's actually the cocktail. That's a 15%. That's some really good stuff.
15%.
Those look vintage.
How do we get one of those?
Yeah.
You just take one with you when you go.
For sure.
I don't know if we need one
of
those.
You just pour it on ice and, oh, my God, it's good. But the problem with those are you can only sell in liquor stores. So the malt beverage, we're going to hit Fuse and Great Company out of Chicago. We launched on the 4th, by the way.
Oh, so you're up and running right now.
Our first state, I think, was Texas.
So if you're from Texas, you're listening to this, you can currently buy the John Daly
malt beverage. I'm pretty sure you can, but you can get it now. You can get it in grocery stores, you know, mini marts, 7-Elevens, everywhere, you know.
Can we get it shipped to us?
We could probably work that out.
Yeah, I think we can.
Well, I think we should think about it.
Yeah, I think we should
put it behind our new bar.
Yeah, you know.
I think it should be one of the sponsors of your show, to be serious.
I think it should be the only sponsor.
I do too.
I really enjoy that.
Or the sponsor of our new bar.
Yeah, we got a bar. Yeah. We got a brand new bar. John Daly should be the sponsor of.
Well, it should be called the John Daly Bar.
I think it might be called that anyways. And I don't know. In a negotiation thing, I don't think I should tell you that. But yeah,
but the cool thing with this malt beverage is you can put it on draft.
Oh, nice. Oh,
it's a malt beverage. It's 8%, you know, so you can sell it everywhere. Like Oklahoma, you know.
Can you put it in a keg then? If you can put it on a draft, you can put it in a keg.
I think you can put it in the keg,
so I could technically keg stand John Daly?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a walking keg with legs. Why not?
You're a lot more than that. And on the golf course, you're awesome to play with. I've learned that. But let's get back to this bus. You have a fridge in here. You have a washer and dryer. It's a house on wheels. This is a mobile house. You live here. Got your whole family here. Everybody's here. All your kin. And I open the refrigerator. First thing, I'd start dying laughing. There's probably 42 gallons of milk in there. It's all that. If this was Cribs and you're like to go straight
to open that closet, there's probably 12 to 13 Hershey's chocolate syrups in there too, I think, right?
So you make your own chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Are you is it more, it's more chocolatey? Is it a super chocolate milk, or do you have like a, do you do shots?
It actually depends on how I'm feeling that morning. If I'm a little hungover, I got to put a little more chocolate in.
So that's why you don't buy the pre-made chocolate milk, because depending on your mood,
yeah,
that depends on how much chocolate.
Well, the pre-made, you know, they got all this pre-made stuff that's so healthy for you. It's sugar-free.
Yeah.
It's
gross.
That's not my America.
I like the true vitamin D milk.
Yeah, you
with
do.
With the true chocolatey Hershey's in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, oh, all of it. Yeah. How many gallons a week?
Close to five.
Nice.
How long has that been happening?
Strongest bones around.
Jeez. The best.
I've been drinking milk all my life, ever since I was a kid. Every time, the funniest thing, every time I'd get hurt, mom said, just drink some milk.
Yeah, calcium. Everybody said, you drink more calcium, your bones would be strong. And then there was a period of time there where America was trying to tell you the milk was unhealthy for you.
It's the healthiest thing for kids, I think. You know, they did a special on one of those news channels probably about 8 months ago saying that young kids do not drink enough vitamin D milk. Their families got them on gluten-free and all that. Well, they're not growing their bones.
Well, that's because they started drinking milk with things that didn't have titties on them. Yeah, everybody's drinking them goddamn nut milks.
You can't milk an almond.
You can't milk. There were goddamn nips on that damn thing. I don't know what people are doing. This ain't my America. But we golfed together.
We had a blast. And, you know, unfortunately, I heard somebody shot 16 under. We're not undefeated anymore.
I don't think
I'm very upset about this.
It's under review.
It wasn't just in. It wasn't our rules. Remember, we have a certain set of rules for
That's
playing
right.
against
yeah,
us.
Yeah.
We are undefeated in matches where our competitors have to drink as much beer as I drink during the round, which today I think was 30 beer. I think I had 30 beers during the round.
Yeah, well, it depends. I don't know. It might have been around 36 because a lot of them, you know, when you did your
self-cheer.
I mean, that lot of beer went down your throat on that fat. That was fast. That was pretty cool. The Stephen Austin, is that what that was?
Yeah. Mr.
Sorry.
Mr. Stephen Austin.
Mr. Stephen
Austin. Yeah, Stone Cold season.
Stone Cold, yeah.
Yeah, he's the man. But I'll tell you, how many programs have you done in your life? A lot?
Oh, God. I couldn't count them all.
Hate them or love them?
I like them because, you know, the amateurs, you never know who you're going to meet. I mean, there's so many. On a selfish way for me is there's a lot of business relationships come out of that.
The fucking sponsorships. The fucking guy we talked to today, he owns a company he started. Is the naming rights of the Cleveland Browns Stadium.
Yeah. Well, he's with
First Energy.
First Energy. Yeah.
His name is Chuck Jones.
Yeah. Great guy. His wife, Kim, was awesome.
Hit some good balls today, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
good guy.
Drunk Googling him last night and found the First Energy thing. Yeah.
Yeah. 1983. He's been a Cleveland Browns diehard fan forever. I heard a story. I talked to him today a little bit walking down one of the fucking fairways that we walked down. I wasn't on a fairway much, but I was walking down them. But I was talking to him. 1983, didn't have enough money to buy a season ticket. Him and two of his friends bought one season ticket. Now, fast forward 34 years later, his fucking name is on the stadium. Is that not the American dream? And he's a golfer. Just got married to a lady named Kim in 2013. They were good people. It was a lot
of
fun.
Wow, you really do some checking. You should work for the White House.
I would. Just I know you're friends with the guy. I think you should maybe throw that out there. I wouldn't mind. I would take that job in a minute.
Might be able to get you in there. Yeah.
Something we should think about. I think a McAfee in a White House, I don't know if it's ever happened. My dad's here. Has anybody in our family?
Hey, if you're positive media about Trump, right now he'd probably put you in the White House. You could be his press secretary.
Well, I should be the press secretary. I'm telling you, I should be the press secretary.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the only thing that's going on in our world right now is a PR issue. That's the only thing. Yeah. The only issue with anything right now is PR.
Yeah.
Because everybody's spinning their fucking ass off for everything. Yeah. CNN's spinning. Fox is spinning. Everybody's spinning for their own ass. Yeah. What you need to do is just let them. You just got to milk their tit a little bit. And then you just got to fuck them. That's what it is. But you told me in your pro-am career, you golfed with Kid Rock.
Mm-hmm. I actually got Kid started in golf.
Do you just call him Kid, by the way? Like,
well, he's my boy. I mean,
like, when do you go, hey, Kid?
Yeah.
What's his real name? Do you know what his real name is?
Well, his brother's name's Billy Ritchie.
Bob.
And Kid's is Bob Ritchie.
But his friends call him Kid?
Yeah.
God damn it. I wish I had, like, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's
I think
cool
you
name.
Can. Well, yeah. What do you want us to call you? Boom?
Yep.
There's Kid Rock now, and before that, Billy the Kid.
I don't
the only
feel
two
like
people
doing that.
Ever in history to go
I'm
by
just
Kid.
I'm going to call you BM.
BM?
Beer
BM.
Man.
Beer Man.
You're Beer Man.
I am Beer
yeah,
Man.
Yeah, you're Beer Man. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, one of the biggest compliments I've ever heard is Mr. John Daly tell me that I drink beer well.
You do. You do a very good job.
Thank you.
Bowel movement.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, fuck you, Nick. John, see how Nick turned that into a negative thing right there?
But, you know, I don't drink water, so there's plenty of ice in my Diet Cokes. The only thing that... You know, you drink too much water when you're drinking beer. I don't know. Why do you do that for? So you don't pass out or what?
No, it's because I went and had a check. I told you, I turned 30. I got a hemorrhoid. I mean, I wiped my ass. It seemed like a slalom back there. I didn't know what was going on. It was a whole different operation. And then things started happening to me. And my mom told me I need to drink more water. So if that's what Sally Mac.
Or eat less protein.
Can't do that.
For that? No, is that for the hemorrhoids?
Hmm.
John Taffer tells us that you should drink water in between your alcoholic beverages as a spacer.
So you can drink more.
Exactly. Yeah.
Doesn't that seem
but
like
I'm
bullshit?
A true drinker, though. I don't like, you know, I don't like to cheat myself on that.
Watching you golf today, by the way, you're a fast fucking golfer. You were on my dick today a couple of times to hurry it up.
You told him.
Well, I said,
you know what the great thing about golf is? You could talk after you hit your shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. On my ass.
He was on your ass.
That's a real big talker before he hits a shot.
John, I have a question for you. You were talking about the amount of steps earlier. Very hot, humid, like today. How do you keep from getting swamp ass?
He was struggling. Did you watch him rocking today?
Oh, I was so wet. I love the sweat. I grew up in Arkansas. The heat doesn't bother me.
No chafing or anything? Is there any tricks?
No, I wear loudmouth slacks. We never get chafing in loudmouth slacks.
Gotcha.
No.
Well, you know what? Another company.
I never have gotten chafed in loudmouth, but I will tell you about a hemorrhoid.
Well, before we get to that, if I could let the audience know, I think they could try your trick. Also, another way would be today I didn't wear my Tommy John's. And I'm
you
raw.
See what he just did to you here, John?
I'm raw.
He just
well,
used
see,
you.
I wear loudmouth slacks without any underwear. I don't wear underwear.
Well, if
they're
you do
so
wear underwear,
well, we think
we suggest you
we'll
wear
get
Tommy
you a pair of Tommy John underwear.
And see I don't how wear you underwear. Like
listen, it's a fucking ad.
But they're
John.
Like
just,
not
just
wearing
let this
underwear.
Happen. They paid us for this. Just let it happen.
Well, okay, but you can send them, but you know, I'm not going to wear them. that's your sponsor, not mine.
Guys, as the weather...
My sponsor's loudmouth, okay?
As the weather heats up and gets more humid, pay close attention to how those older-than-dirt multi-pack boxers hold up. You're going to notice some swamp-like conditions down below. But when you can end that once and for all with Tommy John, the legendary men's underwear company that's redefined comfort for guys everywhere. It's a fact. Old-school cotton underwear just can't handle the extra onslaught of sweat you get this time of year. That's why I wear Tommy John's. Should have worn them today. I'm paying for it now. I can barely sit down. They're moisture wicking fabrics, full perspiration right off your body. They pull it right off your body. They dry 4 to 5 times faster than traditional fabrics. That's their secret. It's like they got a built-in AC unit. An AC unit for your unit.
Air conditioner for your balls.
AC,
it's like my loudmouth pants.
AC for your DMB.
Just a different company.
Tommy John combines 21st century design with patented fabrics. They're so smart and it's impossible to get a wedgie. Nerds everywhere are thanking them for that. It's all part of the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Stay cool all summer along with Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Here's the deal. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/America to save 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/America for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/America.
Can I just shorten that ad up real quick?
Sure.
I'm John Daly. If I ever am going to ever wear underwear again or boxers, I'm going to wear Tommy John.
Yep, boy, there it is. Nail it. Now go to TommyJohn.com/America.
There you go. Use end of story. Too long of an ad. By the put way, me to sleep. Seriously.
Someone on the course today made Todd do an ad for them.
Yeah, Todd. Yeah. So that's what Todd's thing is. So Todd is a guy who will literally use you, which he's done to me plenty of times. He's done it to Diggs. He's done it to Nick. He's done it to Vibs. He will use you, set you up, think you're going to have a conversation with him, and then whammy, he's selling something to us.
I love it.
Like you just did right there. And it's incredible. Tommy John, we got a chance to talk to the founders, actually. They called us before. They wanted us to make sure that we're good people and stuff like that. Great humans. Great humans. Take care of the balls. Take care of yourself. Take care of your lady. Tommy John's awesome.
Guaranteed good.
Tommy John, not just a surgery.
Tommy John.
Good underwear.
I've had that on my elbow.
Yeah.
We were talking about that. How many? You said you had surgery on your feet, your elbows?
Both feet. Had Ossetron on both feet, knee surgery, elbow surgery.
You had what in both feet?
Ossetron.
That sounds like a transformer.
Well, you know, most people, no, when you have a bone spur, yeah. I had bone spurs in both my feet, and they had the little ones. You couldn't walk. They're the worst. Oh.
Did you?
So instead of getting it cut out, there's a machine called an Ossetron. It's about literally maybe an inch from your foot.
Is it a Decepticon?
They put you to sleep, and this machine pounds on it, hits it really hard.
Are you out during this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they put the anesthesia in you and all that. But the left one I did, 1,800 hits, got rid of it. The right one was so bad, they did 3,600 hits.
It just crushes.
How bruised? It has to be bruised. Your feet have to be bruised.
No, I walked the next day. They told me to wear the boot. I said, I had to do a golf outing the next day.
I took 1,800 hits one night.
I tried to hit a golf ball on that boot, and I said, you know what, the hell with it. I taped up my heel real tight on the end and just pulled the tape.
It's Ben Roethlisberger-like.
Yeah, I hit drivers all day long for these people.
Is it? No, you don't have to walk anymore because you're on the Champions Tour.
Only a few of them. These next three, I have to. Well, this one, of course, the regular tour, you always have to. But
I just found out today that we were walking that thing. I didn't know I was going to walk that whole fucking thing. I had never done that before. What the fuck? That is a long way. You've done that your entire career?
Since
what's the worst course to walk?
And it's a great, great track. The hardest track for me to ever walk was Reno, but it's an unbelievable golf course. The ball goes for miles.
Yeah, thin air.
But the thin air, but it, there's so many hills out there that you're like, I just suck it up. I just smoke cigarettes going up the hills, just to slow me down and walk on the cart path. But it's a beautiful golf course where we play the tour event. But it's hilly. It's hard to walk.
I caddied at Oakmont. That's a pretty hilly course too. Is that up there?
Nothing
like that.
No, nothing. Castle Pines, where we used to play in Colorado.
Yeah,
that was a tough
one. Ball goes a long way there in Colorado too.
That's a hilly one. But yeah, they're great golf courses though.
Well, that's the thing. Any beautiful landscape normally has a lot of what's that called? Somebody give me that word. The
undulation.
Holy fuck.
That's exactly the word.
What?
Wow. Golf term, baby.
That's for the greens. Greens have a lot of undulation.
How are the greens today? Fast?
Oh, they're so good here.
This Greenbrier is a beautiful golf course.
Isn't it awesome?
Beautiful golf course. Especially 1 year after a full flood coming through here. With Jim Justice, who I found out was the governor, what was that, 2 days ago?
We saw it on a rest stop bathroom.
It said, wild and wonderful West Virginia, Governor Jim Justice. And I said, holy fuck, this guy's the governor?
Really good photograph, by the way, in the rest stop.
Really good picture of him. He looks good in that rest stop. And you're friends with Jim Justice, right?
Yeah.
And he was not always the governor. He just
became governor. He was a coal miner and made billions.
A fuck ton.
And loves people. How much did he make?
A fuck ton.
He takes care of a lot of people.
This
entire area here is running. I mean, the Saints were here for training camp.
He built that facility for him. He's great friends with Coach Payton.
Patriots, Houston Texans are coming here. Mm-hmm. When would West Virginia have any of them come? Never, if it wasn't for him.
Right.
And this course, what he's done in 1 year turnaround is beautiful. And I got to meet him afterwards. We ate in his box.
We ate his chocolate chip cookies.
I ate the governor's box.
Yeah, him and John Clemens. John Clemens is big here. I mean, he is a good buddy of mine, but they pretty much are the guys around here.
John Clemens was the guy who I hit his house, and then I stole all his beer off his back porch.
He basically got that for me because I'm cooking for him one night, but we'll stock it some more.
Good guy. But these people are very nice.
Staff here, they all just are so nice. They'll do anything for you.
Now, listen. Let's talk about that.
Uh-oh. Last night.
The first night we were here, that cocktail party. Jesus Christ, John. Like, you're a legend, so you can get away with stuff.
What'd I do?
We walked into that black tie party. I was wearing my dress shorts and a polo. They were, like, calling security. It was, like, people calling in on their ear, like, blah, blah, blah. We got some fucking rednecks who just walked in this fucking place. They wanted us out. I had never been a part of such a bougie event in my life. That's the golf community, though, huh?
Well, you know, I've always...
They were nice, by the way.
No, they were very they were wonderful, very nice people. But, like, and I'll say this. You know, every time the tour wants me to go to a function like that, I'm going to be comfortable.
Yes. You were, actually.
You know, and... You know, if I have to wear a sport coat, I wear a loudmouth sport coat with jeans and a T-shirt. I'm not wearing a tie.
Yep.
You know, the PGA dinners, you know, past champions dinners and stuff I go to. I say, yes, they want me to come. I'll wear one of my loudmouth jackets. I'm wearing jeans, and I'm wearing a T-shirt under it. And they say, okay, no problem.
Did you start loudmouth?
No. A good buddy of ours, Larry Jackson. I think he had a software company and sold it and did really well, and loudmouth was more of just a hobby for him. And his buddy Woody, who designs all the patterns, is a wonderful designer. And with this Major League Baseball deal we have, all the teams now,
what was the reaction though from the PGA whenever you showed up in some loudmouth shit the first time?
Some of the media was really cool, and some of it was going like, this is a disgrace for golf. And then when you talk to the media about it, I'm going, well, if you look at some of these guys back in the 60s, some of the colors they wore, Doug Sanders. Johnny Miller had some cool-looking slacks. A lot of people had a lot of colors back then, checkers and Argyles and stuff. And I'm going, what's the difference? Just because it's not khaki, it's not blah, it's not boring. I mean,
it's definitely
it's
beige. I'll tell you what, I wore those. I wore the Freedom shorts that you have, the American flag. Yeah. Right leg, I believe, was the... The stars, and the left leg is the stripes. My balls felt like an American Eagle.
You look good. You both look
the
good.
Most comfortable pants you're ever going to wear.
By the way,
know.
The most patriotic team.
By far.
Oh, yeah.
July 5th, and we're the only motherfuckers wearing American flag.
Yeah. I had the Texas state flag on, basically. I had the star,
the pants. Yeah, they were, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I wore the American pants yesterday just because it was 4th of July. Or 2 days ago. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 days ago.
Good call.
Because it's wink, good. Wink, away. You're catching on.
Man, he's a pro.
Yay.
Getting there.
Look at you. Look at you. You smoked during the round today. Do you do that during tournaments, too? You smoke just
the
whole time?
I couldn't play golf if I couldn't smoke cigarettes.
See, I can't play golf unless I can't drink.
Exactly. Well, that's the other second thing. If I could drink, like I said, if I've been drinking all these tournaments for the last 30 years, every round, I'd have won 76 majors.
It's interesting that the PGA hasn't tried to put the kibosh on that like Major League Baseball and the others. Of course, I think Major League Baseball, you get grandfathered.
Yeah, yeah, you could chew if you
were chewing going in, yeah. Yeah.
Are you grandfathered, or is it just no rule against it?
No rule against it yet, no.
Okay, good.
Can I vape?
Do whatever you want. You're an amateur.
I miss NFL.
Amateurs can drink when they play in the pro-ams.
I had a couple pro motherfucking shots today, though.
You did.
But, boy, did. I had some amateur ones, too. Boy. I had some amateur shots. You swing the club. Like, I've seen pictures, the legendary pictures of you, like your still frame, where you're in your backswing and the club is facing the fucking ball. But watching it live, like, with a gallery, like, people around you, like, I felt like I was in the TV back in the day when I was, like, watching you grow up, like, when I was growing up watching you play. It was awesome. You swing the shit out of that club.
Yeah.
It just looks that way, but I really don't.
Boy, the ball makes an incredible sound as it's cutting through the air when it leaves your...
it used to be a lot better when my shoulder got separated in 07. I mean,
hold on. 2 feet. Tommy John, separated shoulder. Let's go on.
Yeah. Well, I can't get surgery on it because if I do, they're going to take too much bone out. So my swing will be so short, I won't even be able to hit it anywhere. But like this little picture here that everybody's looking at, I mean, that's just a three-quarter driver.
Three-quarter driver?
It used to be. I used to almost
get... Who the fuck has a three-quarter swing on their driver?
Well, I do. I want to hit a little nice little low cut, especially in British Opens, windy conditions. You want to choke it down and hit three-quarter. My club used to almost go to my left knee.
Really?
Holy until
I got
hell.
The separated shoulder. I can't get it.
Was the Tommy John from playing golf?
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. I swing, and the club barely gets past my head. It's just a fool.
You've got a good golf swing, though, Bub.
Only at the end.
You got some power, too.
Yeah, I go for
some
it.
Power.
I mean, with some, you know, if you played a little bit more, you could be a dang good golfer.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this.
You really could.
So when you retire... In 10 years, whenever you're going to retire, 15, 20 years, whatever. This is a business idea that we threw around in the
On
the drive down. You have this bus. I'll get a bus. Okay? We will drive around to golf courses like the Lion's Den. There's one in our hometown called Rolling Fields. There's a lot of golf courses that aren't like PGA courses, but they're not like... putt-putt courses, but there's like the blue-collar golf courses.
Love it.
We travel around. We golf there. We sell tickets for people in the gallery. It's 14 holes. We make...
Perfect.
Fuck yeah. We're not playing... We're not Scottish. We drank quicker.
Yeah.
Each hole where we either have like a musician or something, and basically it's a walking party that is with us throughout each time. Yep. You like it?
I love it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
We'll get Hooters to sponsor, get the Hooter girls to go with us.
Not a bad idea.
Anna can coordinate that.
Yeah. Now we're talking. See,
I had the idea that
chicken wings everywhere, and you know,
yeah, I had the idea that one of the flagpoles is actually a stripper pole, and we had a couple strippers on them.
And we could actually put a stripper pole in this bus, to be honest with you. Two of them.
Well, I don't know if we want the gallery that pays for tickets to come on your bus, though.
No, this is for us.
Oh, this is personal.
Personal. Yeah.
I like a little personal stash.
Yeah.
Well, Nick was thinking maybe some prostitutes too. I think Nick has said.
Yeah, that was an idea. Just the extra revenue.
I mean, we're
revenue.
Just spitballing.
I mean, nobody else is doing it.
No, yeah. Nothing wrong with having good ideals. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
But I think that would be a pretty popular thing. I don't think there's a lot of people that do that. I don't think there's a lot of people that do that. I think it'd be a good idea. What is that? That's a stripper pole in a boat.
In Clearwater, our friend's boat.
That's your friend's boat in Clearwater that has a stripper pole right on the front tip of it.
Love that.
Oh, I like the way you guys are living.
That's lovely.
Anna had some pictures.
So, Anna, maybe you bring that boat to every golf course. That's how we put the boat out there. Now we're talking.
Put the boat in the ponds.
The biggest water hazard there.
Yeah. Now, you told us at Lions Den there's been some cigarette boats that have ended up in a pond out there.
Yeah, my brother put my cigarette boat in there when he got a divorce. He just slept in it. he didn't want his ex-wife to find him, so he just put it over there in 12 Pond. And now... It was easy getting it in. They had to get a crane to get it out because there's no way you could get it out.
That's incredible.
How big's the? How was the pond like? Cigarette and a half boat and a half size?
No, it was. All I know is it's about an $86,000 boat, and I got it. Me and my buddy Greg Horton bought it half for like $30,000, and then I bought the rest. He didn't want it, so I took it, and then I said I parked it at Wachita. Beautiful slot down the marina, beautiful lake. I said, yeah, Jamie, go down there and use it anytime you want. Well, right after I left and for about a month, we were going to go down there to go on the boat. Boat wasn't there. Where's my boat? Have you looked at 12? No, I just got home, but was ready to go to Wachita and get on that beautiful lake and take my boat out. Might want to go check it on 12.
Just park the fucking boat on.
Right in the middle of it, yeah.
Were people golfing at this time? Or is the
course was open, everything, yeah.
It's got to be a 25, 30-foot boat probably, right?
Yeah, it had a nice bedroom in the bottom, nice little kitchen.
So nice. If I need to hide out at some point, I just put a boat in 12?
Yeah, just put a boat there. Yeah, they're going to find you.
Not a bad idea, Todd.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know, Todd used to be a cop.
I did.
You ever find anybody hiding... Let's go. Hit it.
Behind the bands.
Perfect. Have you ever found anybody?
I don't know what happened there.
Have you ever found anybody hiding in boats, or have you ever done like a drug bust on a boat or anything like that?
I personally haven't, because we have a lot of boat stuff in Indiana. I mean, a little bit. We have lakes and whatever. But
there's a fucking canal
there's
there.
No waters.
There was a guy that I caught that was trafficking like thousands of pounds of weed from Mexico through Arizona into Indianapolis. Wow. And I got the trail all the way.
Did you get caught?
I got the trail caught all the way up to this guy named Butch, and he wasn't there.
Butch?
And we got all the way to Butch's house. We go set up to have the money taken to the house. He's not there. Nobody can find Butch for like 4 or 5 months. He's just forgotten about. So then I get a call from the DEA down in Florida, down by Miami, and they were like, hey, we have a guy I hear that you might be looking for, and he wants to talk to you. And I guess they caught him coming from Jamaica in cigar boats. He was an expert on building traps in those big cigar boats. So it was this huge trafficking network that he was responsible for getting the stuff in.
Building what? Traps?
Yeah.
Yeah, they... you ever seen Cocaine Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, Mike Lowry.
Cowboys. You ever see that documentary? Oh, it's a great documentary. You should watch it. Great documentary about these two guys from
Brazil de Blanco.
Yeah, Black Widow. Is that her name, right?
See,
yeah. These two Americans basically are the reason why Miami is the way it is, why the cocaine thing happened. They flew down, met Pablo Escobar. They were flying it back. They had boats. They're doing two guys. You'll never one redneck from.
Well, who played? Who was the guy that I saw one that played in the movie that went down there? What was
Blow?
It?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
basically like that. But Blow just kind of took it to another level. But it's like the real story. Definitely. It's awesome. But those boats, I mean.
Yeah, this network was pretty much like Blow until he really took it out of control with the airplanes and stuff. And the cocaine from Colombia. But it was like that level before in the middle of the movie. That was pretty much their operation.
Well, in Arkansas, they hide humans in it to hide from their ex-wives.
Same process.
Not a bad idea. Your caddy today was cool, man.
Awesome.
That's a cool dude.
I could listen to him all day. Oh, he's Scottish hilarious.
No, he's not Scottish.
He was South African.
South African, yeah.
We were doing Scottish.
Yeah. You guys did play. Did you watch? Have you watched it yet? They did play-by-play for the whole thing on our Barstool Heartland IG story.
Oh, today?
The whole thing. They did, and they did it in Scottish accents and all this. It was outrageous.
Oh, that's got to be awesome.
Oh, it was outrageous. But they were speaking in Scottish accents, and the South African accent is very similar.
It is, yeah.
To a Scottish accent.
But you can understand the South African accent now. The only time I can understand a Scottish accent, the drunker they get.
Oh, really?
Seriously, yeah.
Really?
They start talking slower.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. No, they really do.
Like the Pikeys.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But you've been with your caddy for a long time.
Yeah, me and Peter, I met him and I went down to South Africa and played that tour when I didn't really have anything else to play in because we didn't have the web.com or the Hogan tour until 90. So 87, I turned pro. So 87, 88, 88, 89, 89, 90, I went to South Africa. And the first tournament I played in was Durban, and I met Peter. And he was a good player.
That's what he said. He said he's a golfer and a coach.
Great player. And he was in front of me, and Durban Country Club, y'all probably don't know it, but the people that might know it, it's a very tight golf course. You miss it right or left, you're dead. But I just hit my driver so good. I just hit driver on every hole. Well, I was hitting into him. So apparently he told some people, he says, he wasn't mad. He just says, who is this guy? I mean, nobody hits driver on these holes. And it was my first South African tournament. I had to qualified at a course in Joburg, and then went to Durban, played. I finished second. And he's up on the balcony of Durban Country Club, and he goes, hey, you American, get your bloody ass up here. Okay. And I'm going like, okay, what, I didn't know. So I went up there, and he had a bottle of Jack Daniels for me, and he was drinking scotch at the time, and we drank that. Next thing you know, we were urinating off the balcony, and we were best friends.
Look, next thing I know, we're best friends, and now here we are 30 years later. Yeah, it's about 30 years later.
Yeah.
It's
hilarious.
He is hilarious, though. God, he was funny as
hell. Oh, he's a funny human being.
He was. Really, because
he's got some of the best one-liners, too.
Today.
All you golf guys.
Yeah, all you golf guys. Because you're right. That's a long time.
We were
time.
Hanging out with Fuzzy. Yeah. He had a whole bunch of
Fuzzy's one-liners. Fuzzy's the greatest.
Bang, 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 bang.
Fuzzy's other is the greatest.
Fuzzy is. He's busy as shit right now. Like, he is hustling for that Fuzzy's vodka company.
That, and he's got his race cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuzzy's race. Oh, boy.
Was it past your bedtime?
Yeah.
I walked a golf course, John. Have you ever done that? I walked a golf course today.
Never. No.
Do you get worried at all since you haven't been walking as much that you're going to have to walk the next 4 days?
Well, I've got to walk the next 4 tournaments.
Mm. So does it worry you?
It does. When you haven't walked in a while, because I've been off, you know, with my shoulder and everything, it just kind of sucks. But no, I'm good now. I played Monday, walked the Pro-Am, so I'm ready.
I didn't know what was going to happen to me. Like, I knew that the drunker I got, the better I'd play.
That happened.
It did happen. I knew that was going to happen. But adding...
Well, I knew that, too, for you.
You did know that.
That's why I made sure Johnny Clemens had plenty of beer on 11 for you. It was our second hole, so you were set.
I knew the first 4 holes were going to be rough. I was a bit hungover. We were in a casino until about 2:40.
Yes, we were.
2:40 a.m., a little intoxicated, having a good time, a little hungover. But then I knew it was going to happen, but there was a couple of moments there where I was losing faith in me, and I was really hoping that alcohol was going to start kicking in quicker, and it did. Yeah. But the walking, I thought, was going to throw a wrench in everything, because that's...
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of using my legs in general.
Yeah.
And I walked with you guys, and that was tough.
Yeah.
Well, you had the hardest job all day. You had to carry a camera that weighed about a pound.
You just get used to the walking?
You do.
How old are you right now?
51.
Is it get harder, or just you like?
Yeah, it gets harder.
Okay.
Yeah. On my right side, I'm 90 years old. On my left side, I'm still 15.
So golfing. Let's talk about that.
It's taking its toll.
So, like, my right leg is awesome. My left leg ain't worth a fucking shit, right? It's just kind of along for the ride. But my right knee, right ankle, right hip are definitely much worse off. Your whole right side is like that?
Yeah. Well, my hip, I get popped 4 or 5 times a year to get my hip back in place.
Oh, wow.
We were hips. It's weird you say that, hips, because we were on the driving range before, and I used a rental club, so I'd never used any of these clubs, so I went over there. And all these other golfers were fucking stretching and shit. Who was the guy's name? Ben something.
Ben Crane?
Nope. Watkins?
Nope.
Perkins?
Nope.
Clemens?
Nope.
I don't know. He's from South Carolina. He was a real good guy. But I'm on the driving range, and he pulls up next to me and starts doing a full fucking yoga workout, right? And I literally point at him. I said, what the fuck are you doing?
That's what I have Anna for.
Go on.
She stretches you out?
Yeah.
And I asked you, I said, are you going to warm up? And you said, yeah, the first hole is my warm-up hole.
Yeah.
No warm-up.
Pro-Am.
Oh, because I was playing with you, it didn't matter?
Yeah, we were looking for you on the range or the putting green, and you weren't there.
Nowhere to be found. I didn't even know what to do. I walked over to the putting green, and there was, like, people with tees. Do you remember that whole fucking setup that was over there?
Yeah.
This dude had a fucking tees and a rope out.
Well, it's tough. The Pro-Am days are tough, especially when you have a rain delay like we did. I knew it was going to be packed.
Mm-hmm.
Putting green had so many people on it. You're not going to be able to hit putts. So it's just experience. You know, a lot of times in the prime, I will go hit 5 or 10 balls just to get loose, but I knew it was going to be packed.
How about for the tourney tomorrow? Like, you tee off at 7:10 this morning. This morning it's happening right now. 7:10 a.m. you tee off. What time will you get over there?
6:30.
Hit a couple balls, putt a couple
balls.
Hit
about 20, 30 balls. Hit some putts and go to the tee.
But there's no stretching or any kind of stuff like that that you need to do?
I've been very lucky. I've been flexible most of my life.
I never stretched.
It was Ben Martin who was stretching.
I do my rubber band thing around my ankles. I go 6 right, 6 left, 6 right about 10 or 15 times every morning. After I drink my chocolate milk and have 4 or 5 cigarettes. It's the best thing for your hips.
Cigarettes or? Cigarettes or the stretching?
For your hips.
Well, sometimes I'll do the rubber band with a cigarette in my mouth. It's nothing.
Yeah.
You should come out with a fitness video, I think.
You know, I don't understand why we can't have a gym where you can smoke and drink in.
There is. It's called, like, Planet Fitness or whatever.
I don't know if they, like,
you can't bring your beer and you can't smoke in it.
They give away pizza directly after.
Yeah, like Friday, what's wrong with standing on a treadmill with a Miller Lite and a smoke and an ashtray?
Yeah, seriously. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't just take a Bud Light right on
I
there.
I think working out is very racist to me.
Racist?
Yeah, there is.
Prejudice, you mean, not racist.
Well, both. Prejudice. Either one. Whatever you want to call it. I think it's not fair. If you want to work out, you want to smoke and drink while you're working out, there should be places for that.
Should be able to work out how you
want. I agree.
You know?
Why is everybody so against me drinking a Bud Light while I'm working out?
Yeah, it's, you know, what do you want to drink? Am I going to drink water? No.
No. There's water in there.
It's good carbs, too. Burn those.
Yeah, you burn them while you're doing them.
I didn't get that drunk today on the course because of all the walking and all the sweating. And I drank a lot of beers. I thought I was going to get a lot more intoxicated, but I sweated all
up. You drank a lot of different beer. You were like a test beer today.
Because they only sell certain kinds.
Yeah,
Heineken
Lights, you can only get those. Thank God Johnny had the, you know, Miller Lights and...
Yeah.
A lot of beers you wouldn't
But the weird
drink.
Thing is the tour is a
Michelob Ultra.
Michelob Ultra, you know, it's Anheuser-Busch.
Couldn't find one.
There wasn't any out there.
Couldn't find food out there either or water.
Well, I know I've never seen a human being eat a hot dog as quick as you did.
I'll take one
and
down.
The burp was so smelly, by the way.
Yeah,
you
got to watch that.
Just like a Joey Chitlet out there.
I burped, and there was, I think you were behind.
Hot dogs could be the worst food to eat when you got to burp in front of somebody.
You think?
I think that's one of the worst foods you eat. What's another one that's really bad?
Chili.
You know, chili, yeah. Well, that kind of goes both ways.
Pussy. Speaking of, this fucking guy, we had a 7-hour drive, and we stopped to get breakfast, and he loaded up on extra chili.
Yeah, you heard me.
And I like jalapenos, John.
Oh, boy.
I like them. I can't help it.
What's your favorite
Have
food?
You ever did the fart thing?
What's that?
In the midst of the summer, you turn the heaters on in a truck. You drink the night before. You get so intoxicated.
Check.
And then you get 3 or 4 of your best buddies, and you go have a fart contest.
Check.
See who can
120
last.
Degrees outside. Turn the heaters on in the truck. Leave the windows up, and whoever can last the longest wins the bet.
I'll win that.
Yeah.
I think Todd.
I mean, it gets pretty disgusting.
Thinks he's in a fart contest.
Yeah.
Like, this is how he lives his life.
That's how I establish my dominance. You know how dogs will pee on stuff? I just go around farting. see who lasts the longest.
You farted on the course today, Todd. We could hear you from, I don't know.
Was that you?
Yeah, I blamed it on Bibbs.
Oh, my God. I thought somebody was practicing their bass somewhere, you know, for a drum bass or something.
Yeah, it was real.
Good. I've been eating like crazy. We're going to give you a suggestion. I don't know if you like this, John. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know.
Did you see what he just did
where
here?
Where your food
again.
Comes from.
It happened again, what
did
he just
it really?
Did. Yeah.
It did, yeah.
Yep. Anna, who's just sitting here as a civilian to this whole show, already upset with what you just did to John.
I know.
It's a new commercial coming.
We're paying bills.
Paying bills, baby.
So we're going to... Well, we believe in all our sponsors, and especially BlueApron.com. You should try it. Are they affordable? Yep. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients. Flexible? Yep. Customize your recipes each week based on your own preferences. My favorite's chicken and sweet peppers and roasted summer squash.
Your favorite, huh?
That's my favorite. I made it.
Say it again. What was it?
It is chicken and sweet peppers and roasted summer squash.
Didn't we see him eat that the other day? We're like, wow, Todd. Yeah.
I gotta make y'all some of my ranch chicken.
Oh, that sounds good.
Is that what you made Nick when he came down for the Live at 9?
Pittsburgh chicken.
Yeah, I made him.
It was delicious. It was so good. Yeah. I still think about that all the time.
Well, if you think about blueapron.com, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Pat. You'll love how good it feels, how it tastes, and to create your incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, just go to blueapron.com/Pat. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Thank you, Blue Apron, for staying on board with us. We're big fans of yours. You got great food. For less
than made me hungry.
Less than $10 a person. $10 a meal.
$10 a meal.
Oh. We had a little diner down the road here whenever you called. By the way, you were the only one that told me that we were delayed and that we were starting again. Like, I thought it was canceled today. I had no idea.
We might have gone home.
We were at a diner down the road off property here. Whenever you were like, yeah, I think we're going off at 120. We're like, oh, shit, we got to get back, I guess. I had no idea.
I'm your huckleberry.
You were my huckleberry.
Oh, I love that term.
Nice.
Nobody else told us. But less than $10 a meal. That's incredible.
$10 per person per meal.
That's awesome. You do like to cook, though.
I love to cook, yeah.
And you cook good.
You're a good cook.
Well, thank you.
And you're, like, known, like, around by your friends and peers as a good cook. Why don't you have, like, a cooking show segment?
I don't have time.
Yeah.
But
one day.
You know, there's a company on the internet where if you have Anna here, who is incredible with technology and the way she runs things, I'm a big fan. Whenever you're cooking, all she has to do is just take a little cell phone, set it up, watch you cook, send it to us. We'll have an editor. Off, here you go. Now you got a cooking segment.
Maybe if I get her to cook, I'll show her how to do the cooking, and she could cook naked, we'll get better ratings.
Not bad.
Now you're thinking.
Not a bad
John,
idea.
Now you're thinking. Maybe we put that together for our blue collar golf tour too. We're thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like one of the holes. Just naked chefs.
Naked chef women. Yeah.
Yeah. Women. Yeah. Well, me, I'd be naked too. Probably just for the show. Good ass.
Yeah.
Great ass. You saw it today.
I don't know. Like, how do you wear your? Why do you wear your shorts so tight though? It'd kill me.
His legs are giant.
There's no
choice. Is that what it is?
There's no choice. Like,
you know, that's surprising. Little John's the only one that has a butt in our family.
Yeah.
Seriously. He is. He's got a butt like yours.
He's a player.
And,
huh?
You know, I said, son, your shorts are way too tight. And then he'll show me, Dad, and it'll be that much, when he pulls them out.
In the waist.
It must be nice having a butt.
Well, it is, but it does get a bit tight here on the legs.
See, my butt holds nothing up. Think I got something on the other side that holds my pants up.
A belt?
Exactly.
You say it a belt? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Big hands, big feet. 3 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
Pat said that Little John gave him a misread today on the final hole.
Yeah, 18th
that's why
hole.
They lost.
18th hole gave me a misread. Middle fingers flying from Little John to Diggs.
He actually gave you a good read. You just hit it just a tad too hard because
it
broke after the hole.
I did. I blew it.
It'd be a little easier to broke right in there. But you played
not
good.
My words, Pat's.
Excuse me, Little John. That never happened. I would never say that about you. Jesus Christ. Little John's a little player, though, huh?
Yeah.
Golfer.
Good golfer.
You enjoying watching him become a great golfer? Is that like
I love it. I absolutely love watching
him play. Do
you coach? Nope.
Staying out of it.
Yep.
Just a spectator.
Coach. Mm-hmm. If he asks me, I'll help him, but I don't. I stay away from it.
Does he play like you?
Yeah.
So you believe that kids should have coaches growing up as far as golf is concerned?
As long as it doesn't mess with their natural ability. Lil John's very natural. He's got great hands around the green. His putting, if I could roll a putt like he does, you could see the logo on the ball when he putts. It's so beautiful.
Really?
It is unbelievable. And a lot of kids I've watched, that he's playing with and stuff, they all are just
good. See, when I was a kid, I'd go to the driving range, I'd get the driver and just hit the shit out of that a few times.
Well, that's what a lot of kids are still doing instead of working on the short game. And he works more on the short game. It's the only thing I ever told him when he started 2 years old at Southwind, where we had a house right behind the range. And I would go out there and chip and putt for hours because I love to chip and putt. That's most people say, I just want to hit the driver, especially in this day.
I would assume John Daly would want to hit the fucking driver.
No, I always work on the short game.
Really?
Always, yeah.
Yeah, everybody said, John Daly, big guy, great hands. So you got good hands around the green.
My son's got unbelievable hands. Yeah.
Really?
Drive for show.
Putt for dough, baby.
Thanks, John.
Cash is king.
Cash is always king.
I got a text. You were down at the Masters. You were doing something for Hooters. I was like, hey, man, what are you doing down there? You said something about, this was one of the best text messages I've ever received. I have an appearance at Hooters. I'm selling and signing, taking some photos. Cash is king, baby. I started dying laughing. I was like, that's awesome. So, little John, when he's competing, you get nervous?
Oh, yeah.
For him?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't even imagine.
But he met a hole-in-one a couple weeks ago in Stacy Lewis's AJGA event.
Did you go to Vegas or...
No, we were in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yeah, but when he hit the hole in one, did you guys go to Vegas? Or I thought that was
What was the yardage on it?
190-yard 5-iron.
What?
Really?
A little downwind.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Downwind. Was it like
kind of, it wasn't no up or down, you know, elevation or anything. It's beautiful.
I thought I hit a hole in one today. Didn't.
Didn't.
Wasn't even on the green. What a fucking life. How many hole-in-ones you got?
8.
Really?
7 on par 3s and 1 on a par 4.
Holy shit, your dick had to be so hard on that hole-in-one.
What was the club on the par 4?
It was a driver. It was at Fox Den in Nashville, or in Knoxville, where they play the web.com. But I went in a winter and did an outing for Coca-Cola, and I was playing with... Three amateurs, and who was my fourth, the celebrity? Well, anyway, we ended up
using... Say somebody else. Just say somebody else, but it doesn't matter.
Well, I can't remember. He's a great guy, though. My bad. But anyway, I think it's the 15th hole, 14th or 15th hole. It's a dogleg right. It's downhill. It's a blind shot. We look for my ball everywhere. I thought I peered it, you know? So we go back, and we play the guy. I can't think of his name. We ended up playing his ball, and one of them knocked it like 5 feet from the hole. We never thought to look in the hole for this golf ball. My ball was in the hole.
Wow.
I always walk up to the hole.
And like, I always check.
I always do it.
Well, I mean, like,
it's a joke, though. But you're a real golfer, and you don't. I do it because my ball's actually
lost. But I didn't
see
a divot on the green or anything where, you know, I might have thought it might have gone in the hole. I thought it.
How far was the hole, you said?
Well, it's like 370 or 380, but if you take it over the trees, it's like 330, 340. Oh, and when if it lands, it's going to roll a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I asked you this on the course. You didn't give me an answer. Farthest you ever hit a ball?
It had to be at the Honda when we were at, I think it's Eagle Trace, par 5. The day before, I hit driver, 3-wood, 5-iron on this par 5.
Jesus.
The wind was dead into us, 40-mile-an-hour winds. The next day, the wind changed. And I think this is still recorded a don't. Get me on this, but I think it's one of the longest drives anybody's ever hit. I hit one like 417 yards.
Jeez.
But it was just straight downwind, rolled. I hit mine in the fairway. Neil Lancaster apparently hit the cart path.
Catch a cart path.
And had like 60 yards in. I had like 150 yards in. But he had like 60, hits a cart path, I think might still be recorded as the longest drive ever in the history of the PGA Tour.
400?
His kept hitting the cart. His is like 470, 480.
Wow.
490. I don't know. It's almost 500 yards. I think that's who they said it was. Kept hitting the cart path and going and going and going. Kicked back in the fairway. He had like a flip little wedge in there.
Favorite golf movie?
Oh, Dead Solid Perfect.
Who?
Randy Quaid.
No, there's no chance that's
it. It's way before your time.
Oh, you've got to get this movie.
Dead Solid Perfect?
It is the true reality sometimes of the way some of us have had to live our PGA Tour career.
Really? What's that?
It's about a guy who is just trying to keep his card, trying to keep afloat, trying to finish in the top 125. A lot of it's filmed at the Colonial down in Fort Worth, it looked like. And it's basically about a guy just touring, going on Mondays and Tuesdays, sometimes four spot, and sometimes gambling to make some money, trying to find a sponsor to pay for him to stay on tour. Couldn't get really sponsors or anything to help him out, and got married, had a wonderful wife. They didn't get along, and then he found this other girl, and she went off in the woods, was making love to somebody else, and it was on TV, and everybody's laughing about it. But anyway, it's the true facts of it's a comedy, but it's a lot about reality of how hard we got to work and the traveling we do, and. You know,
a lot of traveling.
It's a very, very selfish sport, by the way. Anna can attest to it. I mean, I'm a selfish guy when it comes to playing golf, but unfortunately, we have to be.
Yeah.
in parts of our career, we have to be.
Professional athletics, you have to be.
Yeah, and but I don't think
fuck
I'm...
Fuck off a lot, because you got to travel.
It's unbelievable.
It's time-consuming.
It wears you down.
So you're telling me Happy Gilmore, not the most realistic.
That was a funny movie. I loved it. And, you know, Caddyshack was the ultimate.
Tin Cup was mine.
Tin Cup
was great. May be a Tin Cup, too. We're praying. I want to be a part of it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. You got a friend, too, would also like to be a part of that.
Well, we're trying to get Kevin Costner. I got somewhat of the script where it's about him coming to play in the U.S. Senior.
Oh.
Nice.
U.S. Senior Open.
Oh, my God.
Coming back and... I hope he takes it, because I'd love to be in the movie.
That's awesome.
That is so awesome.
I mean, Tin Cup 2's got to come out. That was a great movie. Yeah.
Tin Cup's legendary.
Yeah.
Tin Cup and Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is one of my favorite humans on Earth, long before I got into the NFL. I think it was long before I got into the NFL, because of a Tin Cup-type statement he made on a Joe Buck show, and I told you about this. Mm-hmm. He gave an interview where he said, he's talking about when he went all in on the Cowboys, basically. And Joe Buck asked him about his investment and stuff like that. And he said, my entire life, there's some people who are like 270 yards out, and there's a little bit of water up front, and the green's there. Some people lay it up, and they go for it in two. I'm a guy who I go for the green every fucking time. It was like one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard in my life. And it was Tin Cup, the movie, basically. And I was like, I love Jerry Jones, and I love Tin Cup guy. It was like that type of thing. You and Jerry tight.
I call him dad. I love him. Love Steve and Jerry Jr., the whole family. I mean, they're just awesome people.
Hell of a businessman.
Yeah.
That guy is a hell of a businessman.
And that is the stadium of all stadiums.
Only stadium I ever played in where I said, fuck, I want to watch a game here. I want to watch a game
here. I think we can make that happen.
How many games do you go through a year there?
I try to get at least two or three if it's possible. You know.
You got to be pretty excited about the future of the Cowboys right now.
I am. Very excited.
You like Tony Romo?
Loved him.
Good guy, did a lot of good things for the Cowboys. Yeah. All good things have to come to an end in the NFL, though.
Yeah.
And you guys found a perfect replacement.
Have you ever golfed with Tony?
Oh, yeah. We played AT&T.
He's supposed to be a great golfer, right?
He's a good golfer, yeah.
His new broadcasting partner called you a legend the other night.
Yeah, Jim Nance called me. Do you remember that?
Called you a legend.
Yeah.
You are a legend.
In the making. I got a lot of shit I got to do.
Well, you're a young legend.
I'm on my way.
Yeah.
I'm 30. I got hemorrhoids.
Yeah, you could be my son.
Some people are wondering. I mean, my dad is in here, and I definitely came from his ball sack, but a lot of people are wondering. A lot of people are wondering. Maybe, he just said.
Maybe.
The fuck just happened? Is there a little situation? Oh, okay.
John, do you take any pride in the fact, like, Pat brought a lot of attention to a part of the game of football that people didn't ordinarily pay attention to? Do you take any pride in the fact that because of your personality, that you brought in people to golf that before had no interest in golf?
Like my dad.
They were attracted to you. When I first started watching golf, it was because of you, because at U.S. Open in Indianapolis. Only because I was so wrapped up in your story, and you were so different, and you were such a big, magnanimous personality.
What was that word?
Magnanimous. It's like, I want to watch
I like guy. That word, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Chamblee might steal that from you.
All right. He can have it. I didn't invent it.
There's no way that's a word.
It's a great thing that people say that like back in the 90s, I brought some people that probably couldn't afford to play golf, kind of like Arnie did his whole career, blue-collar guy, didn't have much. But through the peers and to the players, I don't think, because I did so many stupid things in the 90s, walking off golf courses, throwing clubs, you know.
Dumbest thing you've ever done.
I've done too many of them, too many dumb things.
Fuck them all.
Yeah, but and I'm going to say it. I probably shouldn't, but we were honoring the last British Open dinner. Awesome. They're honoring Arnie and Tom Watson, who I love to death. Talking about how guys did so much for the game of golf, and, you know, it was sort of, I don't know if he just wasn't thinking or whatever, but I feel like I brought something to the game in the 90s.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think.
Basically, Tom Watson, you know, he's honoring Arnold, and we're all having a good time. And Tom got to the 90s. He says, when Tiger came out in 97, that really put a boost into golf. Just
Is Tom Watson still alive?
Yeah, he's a great guy, though. I don't think
I hate him.
I love Tom.
No, listen, John. John, listen.
No, but Tom's an old traditionalist.
I am a rabid dog.
He loves
I am a rabid dog.
No, Tom.
You point me in a direction.
Tom loves me, though. I just think he was trying to get his speech done, You know,
powered through the John Daly
powered
session.
Through the John Daly
where
session,
you brought an entire community of people.
Down. Well, Tom was one of the first people to call me when things were going bad too. So.
Okay.
So we don't hate Tom.
Yeah, you don't can't
but
hate Tom.
But just for
Watson.
People at home, you don't skip John Daly when you talk about golf in the 90s. From now on, Watson gets a pass.
It's all right.
You know what? It's really hard for me to not tell Tom Watson I hate him.
No, Tom's a good guy.
I think I hate him.
No, you don't. Because, like I said, he was one of the first when things were really bad.
You know what? He got your back.
For me. He
all
always
right,
had
so
my
I like
back.
Tom
yeah.
Watson. All right. Well, I think it's about time to wrap this up. I think
can I give him one more tip of advice so we can get this in before?
Oh, here we got another
to
ad.
Your final
another
thoughts.
Ad.
Had to happen.
You learned quickly.
They come in threes, John. This is the other thing. I know you always have to travel a lot, and you probably have all of the tricks down, but there's a new thing. I don't know if you know.
Hey, way to make this relatable to our guests, by
right.
the way.
But it's, if you have to go somewhere outside of using this bus, you can check out Upside.com. They save you big money on business travel, and when you buy through them, you get a gift card.
What?
For every trip really? You buy, they send you a gift card that you can use online. I recently used it in less than 10 minutes. They gave me a few awesome choices on United and American for flights from Indy to L.A. A lot of big-name hotels, 5-star, because I'm fancy. Got to have pillow mints.
Where'd you go?
From Indy to L.A.
Yeah.
And the first option saved me money. Then they gave me some other lists. They're like, well, if you would try a different hotel, you could save this much. So saves our company even more money, so we have more money for fireworks and lanacane burn spray.
And beer.
Yeah. Pam beer, most importantly.
Good
but
call.
That's the beauty yeah. of Upside, John. John. This is why I think you'll like it. It's like golf. It's like you and your golf swing. The more flexible you are, the better off you are on Upside as well. But even if you're not flexible, you're still going to save a lot of money, and you're going to get a lot of money in gift cards. Upside's the real deal. Here's where for our listeners. If you go to use the promo code America on Upside.com.
Can you spell that, please?
America?
Yep.
A.
As in, there it is.
That's a U.
There
yeah.
it is. Well,
A as in
said, ah. Okay. M as in.
M as
money.
In mother.
Money, okay. Cash
or,
is king.
Or money.
E as in. Go ahead, John.
Everything.
Is.
So beautiful.
R as in.
Romantic.
Oh, nice. A little stripper pole on a boat there. I as in.
Indianapolis.
Ooh. Thank you.
Thank you. We like that a lot. Good shout out. Greatest city on earth. C as in.
Colorful.
I like it.
Loudmouth.
Colorful, yeah.
Yeah, underneath that loudmouth, what underwear are you going to wear if you ever choose to wear it?
I guess Tommy John.
Don't sound so happy. And the last one, A as in.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, man.
And that's
just
what America
that's
is.
That's you, Anna. Awesome.
He said romantic there in a minute. He gave you a shout.
Anna is awesome. America is awesome. America is a promo code. Use it, and you'll get at least a $100 Amazon gift card for your first trip that you book on Upside.com. Use it. See what your next trip's worth today. Upside.com. It's Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
And, you know, hey, Upside, you know, you can wrap my bus. I'll talk to you about how much you're going to pay me for that. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And Tommy John, I think, needs to give you a call, too,
could,
from earlier.
Could wrap the bus a little
Vinatieri
bit.
Vinatieri got a mattress. two podcasts ago, Vinatieri got a free mattress because he
really?
Got a Lisa one. Yeah. That's what we like to do. I like to give away
was
shit.
Was that one on the TV? What's his name?
Who?
The pillowcase. The pillows.
My Pillow?
My Pillow, yeah.
Have you ever used one of them?
No.
They look terrible. They look like a terrible pillow. That might be your pillow.
I mean, $100 to buy a pillow that only costs $3 to make? I don't know.
Good business.
Good business, yeah.
Good margins.
Good margins.
Great
margins.
Yeah.
Great margins. Yeah. All right. Let's do some final thoughts. Jeff Fibbert hasn't talked much at all, I don't think.
We've missed him. I don't think he said a single word.
He had a long day. He's tuckered out.
He ran today.
He tried getting one in early, and
then
he didn't
cut him
get
off.
It in.
We powered
he just
I wanted to know if John put his chocolate syrup in first or his milk in first.
Always put the milk in first.
Really?
Always put the milk in first.
Well, yeah, you don't put the chocolate syrup in first.
You can't judge. You judge the color of the milk.
Yeah, you put the knife in that you're going to stir with, and you put the milk in there. Then you put
knife
the,
first?
Yeah, because then you put the Hershey's in. Before it gets to the bottom, you got to stir it.
Oh, before
so it's already in there.
So it doesn't go to the bottom. Oh, and then you just down it.
You
smoke a Marlboro Special
Blend.
Did
you see the guys on the internet who stone colded the chocolate milk for you?
That was awesome, yes.
Yeah, that was cool, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the internet loves John Daly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the media, a lot of assholes in the media. I mean, there's some good people in the media, but there's a lot of assholes in the media, especially nowadays. Everybody thinks they're more popular than the things that they're talking about, whatever. The mainstream media business is going downhill quick. They all know what they're trying to hold on for everything. But you are going to hit a whole new level of a whole new stride whenever the internet loves John. You were made for the internet.
Well, I think the media is the way it is because social media is basically taking their jobs.
Just mm-hmm. cutting them the fuck out. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, if I do something wrong and somebody writes it just facts that are wrong.
You can tweet about it. You can say, this is bullshit.
He's right. You know, or she's right. Yeah, I did do that. But it's when they extend that story to make it like, you know, it didn't happen, like things that don't happen. That's the problem.
Well, that's spinning.
That's the problem with the media. Yeah. And I feel bad for our president right now.
He's in some shit.
But I love him, and I wish he just needs to get rid of his Twitter.
You want him to get rid of his Twitter? You're friends with
I love him, but just get off the Twitter. Just don't even acknowledge the media.
So you want him to keep his Twitter, well, the but more not he, acknowledge the media.
The more he acknowledges is bad media and all this stuff, the more the ratings that CNN and all these other TV, all of these other news things are getting. They're getting better ratings because he keeps talking bad about them.
Yeah, it's like any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
It's working for CNN now.
Yeah, I mean, just, I love him to death, and I talked to Eric. We talked to Eric last night about it.
I was on the phone with Trump.
I said, Eric, please.
You called him at 12:30 a.m.
Just tell Dad to just get rid of Twitter.
You did tell him that. I remember
that. Just, if you know, don't tell the world what we're going to do, you know, about things that you want to keep personal. But the worst thing you can do is just keep bad-mouthing the media because it gets you nowhere. It really does. It gets you nowhere. It just makes them want to write more bad stuff about you.
Well, I think...
And they do make up a lot of crap about him and about big figures in this world. But, you know, if you keep telling how much you hate him and the fake and all this stuff, they're never going to write anything good about you.
Yeah, it's hard to win somebody over when you're continuing to kill him. But at some point, you got to say, hey, fuck you.
I like him defending himself.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I think he's gotten
but
to the point
where
he's
like,
hey, fuck
you. Even if you defend yourself, it's not going to, you know, it's like that old saying, a newspaper writes a really bad article about you, and then they got to do an apology. Well, it's in the editorials, and it's about mm-hmm. two sentences. It's not going to matter.
Vinatieri had a situation with the Indy Star that he still won't talk to them because of it. They wrote an article because a rap song mentioned him, mm-hmm. and he sent out a tweet because he thought it was hilarious. They were like, it was something, I'm getting so much money, it's scary. I'm out here kicking like Vinatieri.
That's cool, though.
Vinatieri's mm-hmm. kids heard it and told him. It was like some rapper, and Vinny tweeted out. He was like, my bucket list for my life, win a Super Bowl, check. Provide for my family, check. Be mentioned in a rap song, check, right? Just like funny. It was like a funny tweet, like this happened. The Indy Star spun it into Adam Vinatieri, one writer for the Indy Star, who no longer works at the Indy Star. The Indy Star is good people. I've done a lot of work with them. But one writer for the Indy Star, the media, spun it into Adam Vinatieri promotes a song about booty calls and other things. They wrote an article about it.
Promotes the song?
Promotes the song that has booty call mentions in it and like sex and stuff like that. And Vinatieri read it, who's a super family man, outdoors guy. And he goes, these assholes just made me look bad, right? He was so mad about it, and he wanted an apology. They gave him an apology. Back of the newspaper. Nobody even heard it. Nobody saw it. Vinny's still mad about it, but he's just never going to get it. It's just the way it is. If they're wrong, you're never going to hear about it. Just the way it goes. It's where we live in, but the internet's going to take over everything anyways. So who gives
a
shit?
I mean, like, if somebody does write something bad about, you know, you or me or whatever, we got a way to defend ourselves now.
Yep. I think Trump should keep his Twitter, but I think he should stop
keep
mentioning
it, but just don't media. Talk about the media.
Yep. Just like I said on Tuesday's show, by the way, 4,000 people made that GIF. The CNN wanted to say that a racist guy made it just because that's the story they wanted to make it. Now it's all coming out that they were completely wrong on who made the goddamn GIF. Just like I said, so everybody can eat shit. I don't know why my brain is always right, but it is. If my mouth's talking, listen, it's right. Anyways, let's go back to final thoughts. Jeff Vibbert, do you have something?
Well, last night I experienced a casino for the first time in my life.
Are you even old enough to go to casino?
And they made me wear a size 72 jacket.
What size do you think you are, Vibs?
I'm a size 36 slim.
Well, you could have just pressed around like a transvestite. You did. Probably, you know, you
did.
Yeah.
He did.
And what did I do because they made me wear this jacket? I robbed them fucking blind. I took $300 from their casino.
That's
almost had to shut him down.
They almost kicked him out.
Yeah. Hold on. When we were walking out, Pat
went to say something to Vibs, and Vibs goes, "What? Can't hear you." And hold the held the
$300 like it was a money phone, like the Johnny Manziel money phone. I was proud of you though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That whole node.
That was only the 17th time he was fired yesterday.
They gave us all jackets. They didn't have enough jackets, so to get Vib's 72 jacket, they had to go into the basement and grab it. They had to bring pants up for me because I only had jorts on. No jorts allowed. Size 60 jorts. They were dress jorts. They're actually these exact jorts because I didn't pack anything. That casino was interesting, but I'm happy a lot of people won here. Nick, final thoughts?
That ties into my final thought, thank you, because John mentioned this earlier, too. So we were at that swanky formal cocktail pairing party. Nice dress clothes, got to wear a sport coat. Going to the casino, same thing, got to wear a sport coat.
After 7.
Yeah, and then, John, you'd mentioned earlier, you know, you don't want to wear a tie because you want to be comfortable. Why do people still wear ties? Why are ties a thing?
Why are ties a thing?
Just a piece of fabric that hangs from your neck.
Diggs just showed John Daly the picture of Jeff Vibbert wearing the jacket.
You know what's great about this? You guys look like a band. You're not the Backstreet Boys. You are the boys.
We'll
call you the Baggy Boys.
Baggy Jacket Boys.
Yeah, those are my pants down. Those are the pants, the rented pants that I had to wear rental pants for the first time in my life.
We're in a casino. It's 10 p.m. at night. We were there till like 2 in the morning. Why did you have to wear these pants? Why did we have to wear sport coats?
Why did I have 10 grand in my pocket? They wouldn't let me into your casino. That doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Your business is your business. Beautiful casino, great dealers. I just thought the rule was interesting.
I'm going to tell you, the rule is actually a decent rule because, and I don't know if it's right to say, but you know, if you go, I go to a lot of casinos and.
No.
Well, and I like to play the high limit slots, but you've got to keep, sometimes you've got to keep the riffraff out.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right, actually.
And it's basically, I think it's more of a security thing than anything because most people who don't have a lot of money aren't going to wear a sport coat to a casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a fine line between, you know, and no sleeveless shirts. Okay, fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, let us wear a T-shirt. Yeah, but
the thing is, I mean, you know, a lot of casinos give booze away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay? A lot of them give booze away.
Not this one.
Now, if you're not... You know, and I've seen it. I go to the Hard Rock in Tampa. I go to Vegas. I go all over the world.
What's your favorite casino?
It's hard to say. I love that Hard Rock in Tampa, man. Let me tell you something. It is.
You went out of there a lot?
I've lost in one, but, you know, they're nice. The high limit rooms are so unbelievable.
I can't believe you play high limit slots. You said that yesterday. You said you just sit and play those. You love it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have a machine, you know. Taking my money than
I don't trust
a dealer
the
or whatever.
My old man's a slot guy too. He loves it. Eats
I
it
just
up.
Love it.
He
I do
wins.
It, but yeah. I do it more for just relaxation, kind of getting away from the world. Right. Don't have to talk to anybody.
That's
too
why
much.
I ride my motorcycle to do that. I'm gonna start doing.
But
slots.
Anyway, you know, in the high limit rooms, you know, people will get in there and they'll put like $20 in a a
penny slot
or a $10 machine that's about the lowest you see in a high limit slot room, and they'll put $20 and say, "Oh, I played. I get a free drink. I can drink now."
So and, then
the and then they'll have 15 other people with them since they played. Well, we'll all get drunk on the $20 we played on. So there's a fine line. And you know, but like I said before, if you're wearing shorts and you go in there before 7,
grandfathered,
you're kind of grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. You're playing.
I respect that, though. I do respect that. But making me put pants on right in front of the entire casino, where the entire casino sees me putting these rental pants on.
Back to my original point.
It was pretty hilarious.
It was fucking hilarious.
I thought it was great. The lady was phenomenal. Can you do that again?
Come for my Snapchat?
So I can Snapchat that.
This sweet old lady. I had no idea that sweet old ladies have Snapchat, by the way. That was the most impressive thing to me. Was like, you're on Snapchat.
I think she wanted you.
Well, I mean, you saw the way I was looking.
But you're looking spiffy. Yeah.
I had a suit coat on. I had a sport jacket on. And I had my Tommy John underwear on. This package was feeling good. What's up, Phipps?
Can I also add that the security guard gave Pat a jacket, and it was a little tight on Pat.
Small.
And the security guard looks at me and goes, "Hey, man, you might want to ask him if he'll switch with you." And I go, "He's not going to switch with me." And he goes, "Just ask." So I asked, and he goes, "Oh, absolutely not."
It was better that you looked like that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Much better. Yeah, but I'm on your side here. I think there's a fine line between.
I get what you're saying.
Like, sport jacket, I agree. Making me put pants on in front of everybody was, I mean, it felt like my dad was there yelling. It was a pretty interesting moment. But fun casino. Good, nice people in there. You guys won. You won. You won. Mm-hmm. You won.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, did you win?
No, I lost.
Hey, Todd, what did I do?
You lost.
Yeah.
Because of me.
Yeah, right there on the craps table.
We got a little filled happy on the craps table.
A little feel. A lot of sixes.
My fault.
Fucking coming.
I kept calling. I was feeling it. And no.
Yeah. Todd was like screaming across the craps table. Field! I'm like, well, my boy's just screaming right now. I want to make him look good. Six. Perfect. That's not a field. And then he rolled. Right? And he's before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want to bet big when my boy's rolling because I want him to be like, hey, I got your back here. I'm
That's
with
right.
you. We're
That's
confident.
Right. Yeah.
He gets a point. I think it was a six. It was
eight.
It was eight. It was eight.
Six, yeah. Eight,
good
six
point.
Or eight.
It was
one.
Six
Great
or eight.
Points.
Good point. Okay, let's go. I'm heavy on that thing. Seven.
First roll.
First
seven.
Roll. Seven. Take all my fucking money. There's my friendship.
There's nothing more embarrassing than come with hitting a seven right after you establish point.
You know
want to
know
what's
it's
more, like the worst thing.
You want to know what's more embarrassing? When you load up the entire thing because your friend is rolling and he hits a seven.
Yeah,
his first
that's one. Bad.
At Tactical Digs, final thoughts?
So today, for the first time, I called an entire golf round for 18 holes.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect what Nance does, but I'm pretty sure I could do it better. And that's...
A lot of people are saying that you guys changed the golf color commentating game today. You have to watch the story.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, I'm going to say this because this, I would just do our final thoughts together because I'm on the same page, kind of.
Yeah.
I just noticed this, John, about golf is like commentating golf is not easy, but it sounds way better. Now I know why they have so many people with accents do it. It just sounds better when you're talking about golf and you're doing it in an accent. When we started talking in an accent,
got
way
much
better.
Better.
It was
much
it better. Sucked yeah. kind of before that.
Yeah.
I always like to hear the foreigners do the talking, the announcing, because
it's more dynamic.
It's, and a little rain outside, yeah. watching it. It's the greatest time to take a nap.
Oh.
I love
good.
It. Oh, yeah.
Good golf nap.
Good Father's Day, U.S. Open.
You know, the fun sport, the golf sport to watch is the European Tour because they don't have a lot of commercials.
Oh, good point.
But, you know, in the U.S., it's so sponsor heavy, you know.
Oh, it's
they
like
got to get those commercials in. And
they
yeah, but we can do it. Y'all do it in a funny way.
Yeah.
But, you know, they show a shot. Oh, let's go to break.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I can't watch golf.
I was on a.
I like watching the European Tour because you're seeing guys actually hit golf shots. They're not doing these lessons in between the show.
Yeah.
And golf,
oh, I
you know?
Hate that. Yeah.
I'm just not I'm not a big fan of watching golf. I'd rather just play it.
Yeah.
I was like,
I'd watch my son play. That's about it.
I was like that with soccer growing up.
Soccer's fun to watch, though.
You enjoy watching soccer?
I love our USA.
I love it.
Watching them.
I
watch any. I'm not a big hockey guy because I grew up in the South, but I'll watch the USA play.
Olympics. Olympics are the
and
best.
And I kind of fell in love with with Pittsburgh because of my boy. He's one of my best friends, and they won.
Mario, boy, John.
Mario Lemieux, I love him.
You're friends with Mario Lemieux?
Yeah, I love him. We played some golf together, me and him. And
the 84 Lumber Classic.
Danny Quinn. Danny Quinn was a good buddy, My caddy out here for a long time on the tour for
Hold
everyone
on.
Else.
Hold the fuck on. So the owner of the White House you're friends with.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the Cowboys you're friends with.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins you're friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of Barstool Heartland you're friends with.
Good my life's good.
Yeah, you're in a good spot.
Suisse on Suisse. Yeah. Le magnifique.
How about this? I like that, what you just did there. John Daly, final thoughts?
Well, it's awesome for you to be able to play in your first PGA Tour Pro-Am.
It was pretty cool. I mean, that was a really cool
thing.
In
the beautiful place in Greenbrier.
Mm-hmm.
Barefoot.
Where you played, in Morgantown, West Virginia boy, All-American, decent punter.
Thank
great
you.
Punter.
Kicker, too.
Kicker, too.
Very decent kicker, yeah.
Just having you, just me and you become friends so fast.
Yep.
You know, and I'll never, ever forget the 50 grand donation you made to my Boys and Girls Club. Came to Arkansas.
Loved Arkansas, by the way. Going to come
had
back.
A great time. We're friends for life, and I love doing your show. I think you're great, and I hope all the best success for you.
You're the
We're
man,
be
John.
Friends for a long time, buddy.
My final thought is this. From all of us, my dad included, maybe, Dad. I just found out I might not be. Yes,
the quiet one.
My dad is not a quiet one. If we get him going, he's going to get going. But actually, you are kind of a quiet guy.
Well, only if we're not talking politics, then I get loud.
Yeah.
His Facebook's loud.
Yeah.
Hey, Anna, we'll get out of here soon with your loud yawns. Jesus Christ.
Anna, final thoughts, honey? Final thoughts?
Oh, I like that. Anna,
no more commercials.
My final thought is this. We're so lucky to come to the Greenbrier. Very, very thankful that I was invited to this. Stephanie Yeager invited me to this. She reached out to me. Granted, she didn't tell me that anything was delayed or where to go or where to get anything because Larry Fitzgerald showed up and the Star Totem Bullet kind of took over. But I'm very, very thankful that I got invited to this. I am very thankful that you made the call and made us play together. That was huge. I am very lucky that you let us on this bus and did this. You came on the show. You're one of the coolest dudes on earth. I am so thankful for your friendship. And for everybody else, let's just start enjoying life a little bit, you know? 4th of July is like a kind of a reset, a refocus on what we need to do. Brings America together. Brings America together. Celebrate a happy birthday together.
Yeah, and then, you know, give Trump a little leniency here, you know?
Let's give the guy a shot.
Let him do his job.
Let's see what happens.
He has America in his heart.
It's actually
more than any president has in a long time.
Long, I believe he does.
Long, long time.
Long time. Both parties included.
Not about how much he can make in his term.
Both parties included there.
Yes.
Yes. In a long time. Trump.
Just get along. And for all you people listening, if you ever get a chance to come to the Greenbrier and play golf,
do it.
Please do it. It is a phenomenal place to come play golf.
Make sure you wear pants and a button up and a sport jacket if you want to
win. After 7 o'clock in the casino.
If you want to win in the casino. John, did you win that casino the other day?
I did win. Yeah.
I don't want to ask you how much in public, but
it was good. It was good.
I am so proud of you for fucking.
It's a top 30 finish this week.
No matter what happens.
Watch John Daly tonight on Faraday Live. It's his 100th show. John Daly is the guest coming to you live from the Greenbrier.
Faraday's 100th. He's celebrating his 100th Faraday show.
Is that on the golf tour?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
hundreds.
I think we're in the same room we had the pro-am dinner.
We saw it getting set up.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. It's going to be awesome. He couldn't have picked a better guest.
He's a good man.
In the 90s, you did something for golf that no golfer has ever done. Arnie did it, but you did it to a whole other level. We're so thankful, man. Thank you so much for coming on to your beautiful kin here. Thank you for allowing us to invade your home here on wheels. Happy birthday. That's all they want. I'll tell you what, becoming friends with John Daly is awesome. There's a lot of really good things. But what I just learned, I don't have any other kids in my life, ever. I'm normally allergic to them. Now there's just fucking birthdays all of a sudden showing up.
Well, we'll get Kritz and Little John to call you Uncle Pat. That make you feel good?
Listen, I hate kids, so don't call me anything. All right, on that note, let's have a good one. It's Thursday, July 6th. I hope you have a great weekend. We love America. The Pro-Am was fun. John Daly's about to win this goddamn tournament. He's walking all over beautiful Greenbrier, up and down the mountains. Saturdays are for the boys' towel. Flew perfectly today on my bag. I think it might fly on Saturday. Cheers to you. Go buy some T-shirts. It's how our business is operated. Don't know if you'll ever get them, though.
They'll get them. They'll come.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I bought shirts from the website. Still haven't got them. But maybe you'll have better luck. All right. Anyways, see you later. Let's go.